Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to Do the Right Thing! Hello and welcome to the podcast panel show that wants to do the right thing in any situation. For example, what is the right way to blow an egg? Up its penis.
So you used the word up there, right?
We're coming at you from the Pleasants in Edinburgh. I'm Danielle Ward, and with me trying to do the right thing today, he's the friendliest a man who hates you can be, it's Michael Legg! And with him, he's one half and one third of Peacock and Gamble, it's Ed Gamble! And on my right, she's the result of averaging the faces of the whitest people on earth. It's Margaret Cavon Smith.
I have Spanish heritage, I'll have you know.
And with her, he's like a cross between Guy Fawkes and a goth's girlfriend. It's Ray Peacock. Tonight, we're going to start the show with round one. This is The Importance of Being Right.
The Importance of Being Right.
Like a 15-year-old boy left home alone for the weekend, I've gotten into a sticky mess all over the internet. In this round, I'm going to set each team a problem and they must tell me what the right thing to do is according to the weird wackos writing on the World Wide Web. That's a bad sentence. First question is for Margaret and Ray. Hey, buddies. You've recently watched the film Point Break, directed by Oscar winner Catherine Bigelow.
Never seen it.
She's a lady.
I've seen it with the sound down in an indie club.
Does that it's not.
That's all we need, isn't it? Yeah.
And you are so inspired that you decide to rob a bank dressed as Ian Duncan Smith and then go on a surfing holiday. The bank job is a total success, but while surfing in Cornwall, you get caught in a rip current, which is pulling you out from the shallows and into deeper water. Gnarly dudes. So according to the Cornish Coast Tide Times guide, what is the right way to escape a rip current?
I don't even know what the fucking question was. I'm like, is this like blankety blank where the question's a funny bit?
Are you a surfer, Ray?
I'm not, no, but I used to be a lifeguard.
No.
Genuinely, yeah, yeah.
Can you swim?
No.
Just shouted encouragement.
No, yeah.
Best of luck, don't drown!
Sympathy, yeah. I'm sorry for your luck.
No, I found out that I was allergic to salt water on my first day of lifeguarding.
What?
Genuinely true, because I'd learned like lifeguarding stuff in swimming pools and stuff. And then they said I could be a lifeguard. It was near Newquay, and I did it for about 3 days. And then the first time I ever went into the water, I just came out in hives, and I'm allergic to salt water. And then I found out 2 days later that I'm also allergic to water on my face. It's genuinely true. It's a real thing.
Would you have been a lifeguard then if you hadn't had this allergy? Was that a different career?
I was a stuntman. Genuinely true. I honestly was. I was a stuntman. I was a professional rugby player.
No.
We can all do those for one day before we get fired.
I found out I was allergic to stunts and balls.
Have you got quantum leap? Is that what it is? You've got that.
I went to school with a girl who was allergic to her own hair. Really? That's really, really sad, yeah.
And what does she do now? Matt Lucas.
Oh, she's dead.
How long did it take before she realised she was allergic to her own hair?
I don't know, she was very boring. I didn't hear all of it. What she said.
Ed, have you ever been in trouble in water?
I think we've all been in trouble in water, haven't we? I've cried in the shower. I think most people have. Have you cried in the shower, Michael?
Yeah, God, yeah. And laughed.
At the same time?
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
A manic
and
shower.
Yes. Cry, laugh and wank. That's how my shower is.
You may as well get it all out if you're in the shower.
Yeah.
Have you ever nearly drowned not in the shower?
No. I mean, I can't really swim very well. But I'll never, ever drown in the sea. I know that because I'm scared of the sea.
What if you go on a boat on it and it sinks? Yeah. Isn't that how most people die?
Yeah. What if you're in the Titanic?
Or what if this? What if the brandy comes round to my house?
What if the world? What if the world tips up?
Yeah.
What if the world tips up and then the whole sea ends up going down the country films?
Yeah. I totally believe that is what's going to happen.
Now I'm convinced that's how I'm going to die.
I don't like open water because I'm scared that I will see a corpse in it. Like, I went sea kayaking once and I couldn't look over the side of the kayak in case I saw a dead body.
Ed can't look at a girl facing the wrong way in case she turns around and it's a skeleton. And that's genuinely true. That is genuinely true.
A girl facing the wrong way.
In every dream I've ever had, it's been a girl facing away and then she turns around and she's a skeleton. And for a moment after I saw the original Japanese Ring films, I had a mild fear of Japanese women.
Whichever way they were facing. Yeah.
Watch this. Ask him, Ed, look at me.
No, don't, mate.
Ed, what are your thoughts on... Ed, look at me.
No, don't say... Don't
what
say.
Are your thoughts on... Right, do you know what? I think she's right behind you right now.
She's not.
I think she's right behind you right now. Hang on, a special guest. It's Fluella Benjamin.
Fuck off.
Fluella Benjamin is here right now, Ed.
I'm genuinely terrified of Fluella Benjamin. And I know now in context, me saying I'm scared of Japanese women and then Fluella Benjamin
sounds really bad. Good,
but just Fluella Benjamin is terrifying. I think some sort of childhood experience, just seeing her on the telly. She's just leering. She's leering all of the time. I think she's terrifying.
Back on subject.
Yeah.
I think you're meant to sink.
Well, that is if you are a witch.
Stand up.
What the fuck are you talking about? You're in a ripcord. No, if you can hold your breath, you go, hold your breath, be dragged under, and you will eventually be dragged away from the tide and you will pop back up again. That's why corpses end up popping back up again.
Oh.
For you to be hit in a kayak by you.
Yeah. Producer Ben, what is the answer?
Well, according to the Cornish Coast Tide Times guide, don't try to swim directly towards the shore. This will pit you against the rip current and you will exhaust yourself. Stay calm, don't panic. Keep hold of your surfboard. It will help you float. Swim parallel to the beach until you're free of the rip, then make for the shore. If you can stand, wade rather than swim.
Ah! Fuck you, teammate.
If you can stand, and if you've got a fucking surfboard as well.
Well, you get a point for that. And if all else fails, raise your hand and shout for help.
The worst thing you can do if you're caught by a tide at all is to even try and do anything. If you try and swim, you'll exhaust yourself. It's the same as in quicksand. The worst thing you do is struggle. You just lean forward and just leave it
this
to
is
nature.
From the lifeguard
Mr. One Day Lifeguard.
Exactly. Well, this goes out to people, doesn't it? I don't want people listening to this and thinking that the Cornish lifeguards are right, because they're not, they're wrong. I'm telling you now, let yourself sink.
Yeah. Your advice should be cover your face and get a tube of E45 at the ready.
The car's got water in it.
Michael and Ed, it's your turn now. You're driving back home after storming a gig at the Harvester in Crewe. The rider says you'd be given a meal cooked by one of their child chefs, like on the advert. But this was a lie, and now you're very hungry. Slowing down for a blind bend, you chance upon a roadkill badger. No one is looking, and you've run out of Werther's Originals ages ago. So what is the right way to cook and eat roadkill, according to wikihow.com?
I can't drive and I'm a vegan. You've made this.
So you're leaving it to Ed to deal with all of this.
Are you a meat eater, Ed?
I am a meat eater, yeah. But you're making a leap there from you see a badger, what's the best way to cook a badger?
You're assuming that I'm seeing
the badger and going, fuck, I'm having that badger. But to cook it, I'd have to then pick up the badger, get it home, and by the time I'm home, I'll just have a bag of crisps.
What if you're stranded?
Okay, so I need to cook a badger. Look what you've got me saying.
You're with me, I can't drive. So we're in a car that's going nowhere.
No, I'm driving, Michael.
Oh, well done.
Cheers, mate.
You've done very well for yourself, haven't you?
I'm driving and I'm cooking the badger, apparently.
Right.
So you can have it. Can you have grass?
Where's this going?
Would you have the fur?
You could have the fur, couldn't you?
No.
I'm eating the badger anyway, you can have a bit of fur.
You'd eat your own hair.
I'd try and revive the animal, no matter how flat it was.
Why are you a vegan?
Because animals are beautiful.
Not this one, it's fucked.
Michael, where do you stand on roadkill?
Away from it.
If someone's been killed naturally, like by a car, Yeah. Then what? If something has been killed.
Better say that if you have to eat an animal, it's better to have a roadkill one.
As long as you've killed it yourself, then you can eat it, it's fine.
Yeah, but I don't want to kill it.
So the owner of the original car is allowed to eat it.
They can turn around and eat it.
Look, do you want to know the fucking truth? Do you want to? If no one saw me, of course I'd fucking eat it. There, you've been pushing and you've been pushing. Right. There you go, you fucking got it.
Yeah. And then what else would you eat? Would you have some milk as well? Would you drink some milk, wash it down afterwards?
Yeah, and look at some cheese.
Would you eat a badger if you were hungry, Ed?
Yeah, I totally would. I'd eat a badger. I'd cook it on the engine.
With an egg, you can do that and all kinds
of... Yeah, but I don't have an egg. If the badger's laid an egg, I'll cook its egg.
What if the badger was in shock when it died and laid an egg?
I'll have a bit of badger and a badger shock egg, all on the engine. Thank you.
I don't think I'm right for this quiz.
It has gone in quite an unusual direction.
Ray, what's the most unusual animal you've eaten?
Yes. nothing weird.
Oh, fuck off. You're a druid. You must have eaten weird.
No, I don't think there is anything weird. I'm from a family of butchers, though. My granddad was a master butcher. And I've
like Mugabe. Okay.
I've killed a cow.
You've killed a cow? I've done it. How did you do that?
Kicked its head in.
Well, at the time, it was a stun gun at the time when I was working at a butcher shop. I only did it once. I hated it. It was horrible. I didn't like it at all. But my granddad felt that I should see where the meat comes from and all that sort of thing. But my granddad said, I know this is true, that they used to slaughter pigs by chucking them in water.
Because they were allergic to them, and they
apparently he swore this was true. I don't know if this is true or not. That when you throw pigs into water, they kill themselves.
How?
They do it by accident because they've got trotters, and when they try and swim, they cut their own throats.
Oh my God, that's so dark.
No one should ever know that. No one.
I mean, it's probably bollocks, but I still didn't want to know it.
No, that's what my granddad said.
Well, my granddad said he was friends with a wolf when he was young, so... They're idiots, as far as I can tell, granddad.
It's my granddad had a job. Hey, what was the question, anyway?
Can you cook it on the engine?
Yeah, how about, if you see fleas active in the fur, is that a good thing, do you think, for eating this badger?
I think this might be a trick question. Yes, it is a good thing.
Producer Ben, is it a good thing?
Yes, it is a good thing. Active fleas on the fur indicate the carcass is still quite fresh. Conversely, avoid roadkill that has maggots or other scavenging insect infestations. This indicates a lack of freshness. Their other tips are, look for whole roadkill. Roadkill that has to be scraped off the road because it's been flattened won't be healthy for you to consume.
What?
Butcher the carcass. Oh, this is a tip. Butcher the carcass.
I've never heard him so excited.
Hello.
And camp.
Butcher the carcass. You'll need to skin and gut it before cooking. You could stuff the skin for a unique souvenir.
Michael, that's your job.
You don't have to eat it, Michael.
But Michael cares for all animals, so that means I can't have anything.
I don't want Ed. I don't want Ed to go without dinner. Maybe we ran over a tofu.
Well, at the end of that round, Ben, who are the points?
Ray and Margaret are 1 point, and Ed and Michael are 1 point.
That's a draw, isn't it? That's a draw.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Like being stuck in a lift with Mumford & Sons, this round is agony. This is the round the panel will try and solve some of our audience members' problems, but for that, I'm going to set them a dilemma amuse-bouche and ask them to emotionally dissect a real-life letter to an agony aunt. Margaret, could you please read it out?
D. Dear Agony Aunt, recently, during a phone conversation with my boyfriend, out of the blue, he began to masturbate. He hadn't asked my permission. And I had no idea what to say to him. The noises were unmistakable and it was very loud. Sorry. Should I confront him or let it go? He complains about not being able to sleep. Could this be relevant? The whole letter. My favourite letter I've ever read.
Wow, he's got a deafening cock. How is it?
Are you a fan of phone sex, Ray?
No, but I wouldn't say no to it.
With anyone?
Go on then.
If you were walking past a telephone box and it rang and you answered it and they said...
And it was phone sex.
Yeah.
That's a really difficult one, that. I don't know.
It was hot phone sex on the line.
Is it a lady or a boy?
It's a lady.
Right. What's she saying? Go on.
She's saying, what does this box smell like?
Piss.
What hand are you using?
To do what? Did I arrive wanking in the phone box?
You're like, what a coincidence.
Thank God you ran.
Margaret, would you be annoyed if a man was wanking?
Without my permission?
Yeah, without your permission.
I've rarely had a conversation with anyone that hasn't ended with somebody wanking.
I think asking permission is the weird bit of that letter.
Yeah.
He didn't ask my permission.
You wouldn't go, excuse me, madam.
Would you mind terribly?
But it also...
If I fingered myself. You're telling me about your tea?
I would like to present you a formal invitation to listen to me wank.
I don't get phone sex because you're just talking in it. I mean...
No, it's rubbing your cock too.
there's a definite wanking element to it as well. Yeah. If it's just talking you're doing, that's a conversation. Skype. Could you Skype sex?
Could do Skype sex.
I do eBay sex.
Very good. Let's go over to producer Ben for the actual answer.
So this was an online agony aunt at Columbia University in New York called Go Ask Alice. And she said... it's understandable you had no idea what to say. Your boyfriend should have asked for your consent before relishing his hot dog with you as his audience. If his spontaneous spanking offended you, you should let him know, especially if you hope it won't happen again. Or maybe he simply got the timing wrong, doing it while you were trying to talk about something important. If that's the case, maybe you could agree to a signal word to use when you're ready for some telefun.
Can we wank?
Well, now you know how real Agony Aunt operates, let's see how you cope with some problems from tonight's audience. Have we got Beth in the audience? Beth's problem is it strange to make the guy I fancy grow a beard? How do I approach the subject? And then, asterisk, he fancies me too.
Why do you like beards? Why is that a thing to you?
They, like, hide half your face,
So can I suggest you go out with a Muslim woman?
Is it not like a rugged thing, or what is it? What is it?
Yeah, like a scruffy.
Okay, a girl many, many years ago said to me that it was like a thousand tongues licking at once.
Oh!
Genuinely true. Oh, and no. Yeah, I didn't even have a beard tongue. Then.
That was your hives from the wall. So you fancy him and he fancies you.
Fancy him if he had a beard.
Oh, right. No, this isn't on. I'm not sure you can just go, well, you're nearly there. you pop a beard on.
Has he asked you out?
Yeah.
And what did
and
he
is,
say?
Is it just the beard that's stopping you? Well, you're a
that's
bad
horrible.
Person.
That's the problem. The real question should be, how can I stop being myself?
So you've got I can't say if it's blue or green hair, your hair is dark.
Teal.
It's what?
Teal.
Teal.
All right, she's fucking hell.
Leave her alone, her dad was a budgie.
Right, what if that boy had a beard already and he said, yeah, sure, I'll go out with you as long as you take that air away because I don't like that at all and you're not allowed to wear makeup ever again. And
yeah, you're wincing.
None of these bangles, thank you very much.
And also, like please, can I wank now?
Yeah, what if he said that to you? What if he said that to
yeah,
you?
Yeah, tell him to fuck off. Yeah.
There's your answer.
Beth, who would you like to give a point to?
Probably Michael and Ed.
Oh,
yeah.
There you go.
Because of the Muslim woman suggestion.
Clean shaven Michael and Ed.
Okay, let's check the scores, producer Ben.
It is 2-2.
Still a draw.
We're still in a draw.
That's a draw, mate. That's still a draw.
We're still having a draw.
That's a draw.
Having unleashed these unqualified idiots on the audience, it's time to get a qualified non-idiot onto the show. It's time for Ask the Expert.
Is it me?
Oh, it isn't.
Done
you
one day like
that. In this round, we'll get an expert on the show to talk about their chosen field. And I don't mean Michael ranting on about Doctor Who / veganism. The panel then have to guess what the expert thinks is the right thing to do in some extreme situations. So please welcome today's expert, Policeman Alfie Moore. Hello, Alfie.
Hello.
Hello, and you are a policeman and now you're a comedian.
Yeah, I'm still technically a cop.
Really?
I'm on a career break from the police. I've not been at work for 2 years, but I'm still technically a police officer.
Is that true?
How long before you have to...
I've got my thing. Shall I prove it?
Whoa. Is this your police book as well? Right. I think it was Peter Sutcliffe he's written.
Pretty close.
Yeah.
What's this he's written here?
Yeah.
Done.
Whoa. Put flour down and get the fingerprints from the robbers. Yes. You are definitely a real policeman.
How long have you been a policeman?
18 years.
And what's the most dangerous crime you've been involved with?
Murder.
What, just that?
Yeah. No, treason.
No, just murder. That's the most dangerous, yeah.
It was Lady Di's murder, though, so that's sort of treason.
What I'm going to do is...
We put flour down.
How did that work out?
We still haven't got him.
Yeah.
We still haven't got him. It's a matter of time.
So, right panel, in a moment, you're going to have to second guess what Alfie would do in some police-based scenarios. But before then, you've got a minute or so to probe him with questions to find out a little bit more about him. So, has anybody got a question for Alfie?
I have. Are you institutionally racist?
A little bit. No, I don't think I am. No.
How do you feel about Floella Benjamin?
I don't even know who she is. I'm sorry. That's
racist. That's pretty fucking racist. Oh.
Have you ever grabbed someone whilst they were climbing over a fence and then thrown them to the ground and sat on them?
Yes.
Have you?
Yeah, that happens quite a lot. That
were thing. They a criminal and were you on duty?
Have you done that thing where you put someone in a car and you grab their head and shove it down?
What? What sex?
What the fuck is all that about?
Have you ever had sex?
Have you ever had aggressive car sex?
Yes.
What is the worst crime that you have committed?
Oh, God. I drunk drove once. Yeah.
In Paris.
Yeah. I skidded on the flower. Yeah. No, I was about 19 years old, and
that's not a crime.
I went out. Drinking, and the buses were full. And eventually, I jumped in the car and I was drunk. And the police stopped me because I went the wrong way down a one-way street.
And he said, "Did you not see the arrows?" And you said, "I didn't see the Indians." I know this one.
And they said, "Have you had a drink?" And I said, "Yes, I've had a pint." Everybody says that, don't they? And they went for the breathalyzer kit, and I was absolutely steaming. And just as he got to the car, some big job came in, and he said, "It's your lucky night." They ran off, and I never got breathalyzed. And about 2 years later, I joined the police.
Have you ever pulled someone over for drink driving now and gone, "Well, I got off with it once. I will restore karma and let them get off with it as well because I've got away with it"? Do you ever feel like a little shit when you do someone for drink driving?
Yeah. I think that whenever you stop somebody or deal with a member of the public as a cop, then you try and make a friend. I've arrested people, interviewed them, charged them, and we still shake hands, and we can still, you know, you can make a friend. It's how you treat people, isn't it? You know, yeah. Business is business, and... Is that convincing or not?
I already know Alfie. I feel like I've got a conflict of interest.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I stopped him driving.
but we became friends.
Here is the first scenario. We
held his head down.
You know what I mean?
He felt like a thousand tongs.
Fuck me, the copper gets the biggest clap on the back.
So you've got to second guess what Alfie would do in this situation. You're in a police car on your own in a rural area. You see a car driving erratically and get it to stop. A single man gets out. As he walks up to you, he pulls out what appears to be a handgun from under his jacket, aims it at you, tells you to freeze, and says that if you do everything he says, you won't be harmed. All you've got is your stab-proof vest, a truncheon, and a canister of CS gas spray on your belt. What would Alfie do in this situation?
As a stab-proof vest, will that withhold a bullet?
No.
No. Slow one down.
Clues in the name.
Slow one down, yeah.
Doesn't that seem slightly churlish to only make it stab-proof?
Cheaper. Cheaper.
God, that was
stop
depressing.
Helping.
I was having a conversation the other night about all the great threats that I've had in my life. People mm-hmm. have been threatening me. Like when I was growing up in Northern Ireland, I come from a Catholic family, but we live in a very Protestant town. And I think my favourite ever beating was when I was being repeatedly kicked in the stomach by a man who, with every kick, just went, "Stop worshipping the Virgin Mary." That's
but to be fair, Michael, you did, didn't you?
Yeah,
you
have. Practically immediately. I put it on my to-do list. Stop.
The bruises look like the face of Christ.
The cheering leg.
Your four options are: you either rush towards the guy, run away, comply, or reach for your spray and truncheon.
You'd reach for your spray and truncheon. Certainly reach for them, definitely.
Is that the right answer, Alfie?
Comply. I didn't listen to the other ones. What were the other ones?
Comply. Oh, comply, run away, or rush towards the guy.
Comply. You've got to rush comply them. Because you don't know if it's a handgun or not. If you comply, then that's the...
Michael?
Yeah, fuck it.
Yeah.
Comply.
Run away.
Run away!
This didn't happen to me. It happened to a colleague who went round and he stopped a car. It turned out to be an IRA cell.
Woo!
And, as he approached the car, the driver got out and he pulled a handgun. I said what looks like a handgun because you can't tell whether it's a fake or not. So you've got to assume it is a fake.
What's that?
It's a real thing. That's fake. And
on the podcast, that's going to sound like you just got your cock out. Just better.
So he pointed the handgun and he said just that, do what I say and you won't get hurt. And the guy turned around and he ran. And he had his, you know, the black jackets that were a bit flappy that were not done up. And he ran and he'd got a bullet hole in either side of the jacket, because he turned, he ran, he headed for some woodland, and he survived unscathed. They later got the guy and sent him to prison. But
wear a wide jacket.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Yeah, yeah.
But does he still live in the wood?
Yes, he started doing.
Is that what you should do, or is that just what that?
That's
man
what I want to know. Is that procedure, or is that
the procedure is run away into some woods?
There's no formal procedure. It's a judgment call in the moment, but the experts say run because the thinking being that if he's going to shoot you at you as you run away, he was going to shoot you anyway.
Bled so much.
Yeah.
Right. So here's the second scenario. You're attending an incident in the middle of nowhere after hearing a report of a man worrying some cows. You arrest the man in question and take him back to the police car. When you get there, you realise you've left the lights on and the battery has gone flat. You radio the control room, but it's a busy Friday night and all the other units are tied up with drunken idiots in town. You know you'll be waiting ages for a colleague to turn up with jump leads. What would Alfie do in this situation?
Is cow worrying messing about with him sexually?
Or is it literally just saying things that would worry?
I suppose it depends on the individual cow. Yeah. It worries some cows and
oh, others. One of your udder is bigger than the other one.
There's no offence of worrying cows, really. It's just come into the under the Animal Cruelty Act. Was it cow tipping as well at one point?
Cow sleep stood up. So people go around and just push them over.
We've all seen heathers.
What?
No, apparently we haven't.
So what do you think Alfie would do in this situation? Do you think he would let the man run away? Or do you think he'd wait for the unit to turn up and jumpstart the car?
You just let him go, wouldn't you? It's too much hassle.
Even referees can't do that.
Depends on the offence, really. If like the cows were still in danger, I suppose, and he could go back and just shove some more over, then that's a consideration, isn't it? They can carry on. If they carry on committing offences, then you couldn't let him go.
Is Alfie right?
Well, Alfie, what would you do in this situation then?
What I did do, this is an actual situation, what I did do, I thought, well, I could... They tell me that it'd be ages before anybody could come with the jump leads because it was a Friday night. Everybody was busy. And so, thinking on my feet, I thought it'd be a really good idea to, like... it was only a flat battery. I'd left the lights on, the side lights on. So I thought, like, if he bump started me... So I got him to run and to push the car. And
he's good at pushing, we know that.
I knew he wouldn't run away. Sorry?
So, he's good at pushing.
Yeah, he's good, yeah. So, and... I
they heard it the first time. I didn't need to repeat it.
Yeah. Sure, got another laugh.
That's two laughs tonight.
So I left the handcuffs on him, and the car bumped, and I got him in. But a lady complained. She'd sawn it, and she said it was against his human rights. Apparently, so
tell us the way the coppers say human rights.
Human rights.
Human rights.
They're not human. And obviously, but I got into trouble.
Ben, I will give you £1,000 if you edit this podcast to say, I was going, what do you think of Luella Benjamin? And I'm going, they're not human.
Well, thank you very much, expert Alfie Moore. Before we hit the final round, let's see what the scores are. Producer Ben.
Well, I don't think anyone scored a point in that last round. So it's still to all.
Even ask a question.
It's the last round. Let's do the wrong thing.
Do the wrong thing. Do the wrong thing. Do the wrong thing.
They tried to be right all evening, but now they get to be wrong instead. I want the panellists to tell me what is the wrongest of the wrong thing to do in each given situation. The winner gets a banana smoothie, which is street slang for hand job, right? Surely. The round ends when producer Ben's little boat comes back from his big adventure. Your partner says they no longer love you. What is the wrong thing to do?
Stay with them.
Nick Clegg asked to use your toilet. What is the wrong thing to do?
Haggle.
Eat the toilet.
That's always the worst thing you can do in any circumstance.
Say, get a point for that.
Eat your toilet. You're a fucking moron. I've invested so much money in this festival to do a show with you.
Is eating a toilet. You'll look stupid if that's the right answer at the end.
You can make a member of the opposite sex have an orgasm simply by looking at them. What is the wrong thing to do?
Blink.
You fart and a small amount of plop comes out. What's the wrong thing to do?
Put it back up.
Well, say you're a piñata.
Eat your toilet.
Give it to a little boy and say it is a special Malteser.
A really beautiful Jehovah's Witness knocks at your door. What is the wrong thing to do?
Any of the things I just thought. Pardon. Oh, and empty.
As Kurt Cobain once wrote on a bit of paper, it's better to burn out than to fade away. But he was a junky tit, so it's the end of the show. So, producer Ben, what are the final scores?
Michael and Ed still have two, but Margaret and Ray have got six.
Wow! Well done to Margaret and Ray. Thanks for listening to the show. Goodbye. Do the Right Thing feature Ray Peacock, Ed Gamble, Mark Cable, Smith, Michael Lake, expert guest was Alfie Moore, and me, Danielle Ward. I'd advise you to introduce Ben Walker. We put the script together with extra material from David Reed. Martin White did the music. Thanks to the Pleasants for having us, and to Zoe Bell, Natasha Caffrey, and Johnny Ingram for helping out. Do the Right Thing is a Buzz production for the internet.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.